Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Toby Reed, Gail Gordon, Elliot Lewis, Hans Conried, Meredith Wilson and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Well, as we look in at the Burns home today, we find George glancing through the afternoon newspaper.
Say, look at this. Meat prices are still dropping. Pork is down, beef is down.
Oh, yeah, but you don't have to worry, darling. You're married to a pretty smart little girl.
What do you mean?
Well, I saw this thing coming 10 days ago, so I stocked up before it happened.
Gracie, you didn't.
Yes, I did. They don't catch me napping. Let the meat keep on going down. We're set. I've got enough in our icebox to last us a month. Now, I got it right at the peak.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, sir. You got to get up early in the morning to stop little Gracie.
Now she tells me. Look, Gracie.
And you know something
what?
I found out, George? Businessmen respect a shrewd buyer. Now, this morning, Mr. Jones, the butcher, took me aside and he said, look, Mrs. Burns, steak is still dropping, but any time you want it at the old price, it's okay.
This is murder. Murder.
Well, George, you don't sound very appreciative after all the money I saved you.
How do you figure you saved me money?
Oh, now, really, dear, surely you can add and subtract? Now, look, I spent $50 on meat.
Yeah.
I put it in our icebox.
Yeah.
Today, that meat is worth $30. Now, how much is 30 from 50?
20.
Well, what's that, hey?
But you didn't save 20. You lost 20.
Oh, Judge, pay attention. Now, I'll explain it to
you. I'll explain it to you. Now, listen. 10 days ago, you spent $50 for meat. Today, you could buy the same meat for $30. Now, did you make money or lose it?
Oh, my, you're handsome today.
Don't change the subject.
I've never seen you look better.
Now, Gracie...
Compared to you, I'm a dog.
Don't think you could flatter your way out of this, young lady. Now, listen to me. I put up with your silly...
No, George, please. You mustn't get excited. Remember your appendix.
Appendix? Had my appendix out 10 years ago.
I know. Remember?
Well, there's no use talking to you. I'll see you later. Can't you do something for her, Dr. Miller? She'll drive me crazy.
Well, George, I started to psychoanalyze Gracie, but she called it off. Said she was afraid people might think there was something wrong with her.
I see.
Too bad, too. She told me some absolutely fascinating stories about her childhood. Did you know that at the age of 4, she played Haydn and Chopin?
Haydn and Chopin? That's amazing.
That's what I said until she explained it. That's a game where if you caught Haydn and show your pan, you're it.
Chopin. Might have known.
You know, George, this buying meat at high prices might have been influenced by her father. She told me how he failed in the meat business.
What happened?
Well, you know how some butchers put their thumb on the scale.
Yeah.
Grace's father used to sit on the scale and hold the meat in his lap.
What a family.
Some very peculiar things happened to her parents.
I know. I married one of them. Do you think you can help her, Doctor?
Well, I can, George, if you can get her over here. Let's see. Does Gracie dream much?
Quite a bit.
That'll be the excuse. Tell her to come over and have me interpret her dreams. When I get through interpreting them, she'll be all straightened out.
Wonderful. And above all, Tell her that she must never make a decision.
Leave it to me.
Doc, I don't know how to thank you. Here, let me pay you something.
Oh, George, please, put away that checkbook. I'm your neighbor. I know you too well to accept a check.
Well. Well, thanks, Doc.
You'll pay me in cash.
I thought so.
Where did you go, dear?
Oh, just out for a little fresh air. Say, Gracie, been having any dreams lately?
Oh, yes, I have, George, and such silly ones. I worry about what happens to my mind at night.
And I'm on the day shift.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh.
Tell me about the dreams you had.
Well, last night, I had a real nightmare. I dreamt I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard with no clothes on. All I was wearing was a hat. Oh, was I embarrassed.
Well, I'll bet you were.
Sure, it was last year's hat.
Why don't you run over and tell your dream to Dr. Miller?
Oh, George.
That man will interpret it for you.
Nah, I wouldn't tell him a dream like that.
Well, you don't have to tell him you had it. Tell him it was someone else's.
Oh, but it's such a silly dream.
We all have silly dreams. Look at me. Last night I dreamt that I won a golf match with a one-legged kangaroo.
Oh, that is silly.
Oh, sure.
Oh, imagine you winning a golf match.
Yeah. Now, run over and talk to Dr. Miller.
Well, all right. It would be fun to know what dreams mean.
Sure, I'll see you later. Hello, Doctor. This is George. It worked. Gracie is on her way over to tell you her dreams. Yeah. Now, she'll pretend it isn't hers, but it is. Anyway, you know what to tell her, and pour it on.
That's right, Gracie. Just relax and tell me your dream.
Oh, this isn't my dream, Doctor.
Oh, sure. I understand. We'll just say it's the dream of a certain party. Now, what was the dream?
Well, this certain party was playing golf with a one-legged kangaroo.
Golf with a one-legged kangaroo. Very revealing.
Really?
Oh, definitely. Gracie, the person who had that dream has the mind of a child.
Oh, Doctor, you're wrong.
No, wait. The person who had that dream also looks as young as a child.
Oh, boy, are you wrong.
But the person who had that dream is married to someone who is very wise and clever.
Well, that's funny. Now you're right.
And I'm right in the other things, too, Gracie. The person who had that dream should never make a decision.
Really, Doctor?
Absolutely. Any decision that person makes is sure to be wrong.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I promise you that person will never make another decision.
Come in.
Howdy, little man.
Oh, hello, Mr. Judson.
See, I just got back from a ranch in Texas, and I'm a mite dusty. Could I run your vacuum cleaner over my suit?
Vacuum cleaner? Wouldn't it be easier to brush it off?
This is Texas dust. I want to save it.
I see.
Yeah, I like to put it on my face after shaving.
Like talcum powder.
Yeah, only this is softer.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it smells better,
It smells
too.
Better,
yeah.
Too. Okay, I'll get out the Hoover.
Wait a minute. Your vacuum cleaner is a Hoover?
Yeah.
Then let it go. Texas is a Democratic state.
Suit yourself, Mr. Judson.
Yeah. Now, the reason I hurried over here direct from the train was to give you a chance to make some money.
How?
Well, I got a few cattle down home, and right now they're selling at bottom price, $50 a head.
Hmm.
Now, you buy them today, and tomorrow you'll double your money.
Well, I said...
Well, naturally, I couldn't sell you my whole herd, but I could let you have a couple of million head.
Well, I might take 100 head. How do I buy the cattle?
Well, you just pick up the telephone and call Dallas, Texas. The number is Ecstasy 2400. That's my office.
Yes.
If it don't answer, call my ranch. Paradise 2400. Tell them who you are, and I said to let you have 100 head at bottom price.
Well, thanks a million.
Yeah, well, now you do it right away. Tomorrow, them steers will be put on the train for Chicago.
Mm. To the slaughterhouse, huh?
Yeah. They don't slaughter Texas cattle, though. They don't have to.
Why not?
Well, when them steers step off the train and see they ain't in Texas, they die of a broken heart. Well, so long, little man.
Thanks again, Mr. Judson, and goodbye.
Mr. Judson.
Yeah? Why, little lady, what are you doing hiding here behind this bush?
Well, I have to keep an eye on my husband.
At his age?
Oh, absolutely. He's got the mind of a child. Tell me, while you were talking to him, did he make any decisions?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he did. He decided to call Dallas and buy 100 head of steers at $50 a head.
$50 for one head? Oh, that's ridiculous.
What? But, man, that's the bottom price.
Well, it's all right for a bottom price. That's the end with the meat on it.
That's the end with the...
You know, Meredith, those grand songs carry me back to my high school proms.
Well, Toby, they first hit the music racks 20 years ago. Today, they're still going strong.
And what do you think explains this great popularity year after year?
It hangs on many things all combined, not just one. I'll show you, Toby. Here's another big hit of 20 years ago. But what does it mean to you when we play only the mellow harmony? Or now, when we add a rich counter melody.
Well, it means fine music, Meredith, but is that really a hit tune?
Well, listen while we add the vigorous rhythm section. Okay, and now we'll round out this number with the melody, and you'll recognize one of the most popular American songs ever written.
Of course, Moonlight and Roses. And friends, just as America's favorite songs require the careful blending of many orchestral parts, so too with the creation of America's favorite brand of coffee, Maxwell House. The satisfying, good to the last drop flavor of Maxwell House demands the blending of not one, but many varieties of choice Highland-grown Latin American coffees. With great care and skill, our Maxwell House experts examine, test, and select Manizales for mellowness. For richness, they add Medellins. For vigor, they select other choice coffees. And for fine full body, they add Bucaramangas. All blended in one great coffee, radiant roasted to flavor perfection. And brought to you roaster fresh two ways. Either in the familiar blue tin or in the brand new ultra vacuum glass jar. So friends, are you now enjoying America's favorite coffee? You can for just a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffees sold. Insist on Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
imagine buying 100 steer heads and paying for the bottoms. Well, Dr. Miller was right. Poor George doesn't know which end is which. Well, I've got to stop him. It may take drastic measures, but I've got to stop him.
Hi, Gracie. Hey, I'm going to make $5,000. All I have to do is call Dallas.
Put down that telephone, you philanderer.
Huh?
How dare you call another woman?
What other woman?
Stella Dallas.
I'm calling Dallas,
no,
Texas.
No, George, please, don't use that phone.
Why not?
Why not? Well, it must be left open for emergency calls, like calling the doctor.
But no one is sick. Gracie, what's gotten into you?
Virus X. Then call the doctor.
Oh, stop.
Well, then call the fire department.
The house isn't on fire.
Hand me those matches.
Gracie, cut that out. I'm going to place my call.
Oh, you can't, George. The phone's out of order.
Phone's out of order?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Hello? I can't talk to you now, Meredith. The phone's out of order. That silly Meredith Wilson calling up on a broken telephone.
Gracie, let go of the phone.
No.
I don't like to use my superior strength against a woman, but you force me to tear that telephone out of your hands. Now give me that phone. Please, Gracie, give me the phone.
No.
I said give it here, and I mean it. Oh. Now, you see, I dropped it. I just hope nothing happened to it. Oh, holy smoke. The phone is dead.
Oh, you murderer. You killed it.
This is too much. I'm going to take a cold shower. Then I'll go across the street to Jack Benny's and use his phone.
Well, I'll fix him so he can't use Jack Benny's phone. While he's in the shower, I'll take all the change out of his pocket.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Burns. I'm from the telephone company. Your phone has been reported out of order, and I'm here to fix it.
Wonderful. I can make $5,000 if I call Dallas before the open. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's you again. The guy with the terrible temper. You'll wreck my phone.
Oh, have no fear, Mr. Byrne. Now that I'm with the telephone company, I'm no longer a mad, mad thing. I found myself.
If only you hadn't found me.
I'm so happy with this job.
Please. Please, put the phone down. I'll use carrier pigeon.
Why, this isn't serious. I'll have it fixed in a jiffy.
Don't bother. I'll wigwag. I'll send smoke signals. Don't touch the phone.
I'll just tighten this screw.
I'll walk to Dallas. Forget it.
There. It's fixed. I have placed at your disposal the greatest miracle of science, the telephone.
Good. Now go.
I'm so happy with this job. Now, if you get a hot tip on a racehorse, you can telephone and place $2 on its nose.
But I never do.
The favorite is Bangtail, but you bet on a long shot. Apple Blossom at 50-1. You turn on your radio and listen to the race.
But I never...
They're off! It's a Bangtail out in front, and Apple Blossom second by a nose.
But I never...
At the quarter, it's Bangtail by 2 lengths, and Apple Blossom third by a nose.
But I never...
At the half, it's Bangtail by 5 lengths, and Apple Blossom fourth by a nose.
But I never...
Coming into the stretch, it's Bangtail by 10 lengths, and Apple Blossom tenth by a nose.
But I never...
The winner is Bangtail by 17 lengths. You laugh! You cheer! You dance! Around the room, all because I fixed your telephone. I'm so happy with this job.
All right, now go.
You count your money. Yes. You're so...
Wait.
Something happened.
Wait a minute.
Something. I know.
You bet on the other horse.
Oh.
You lost your $2, and no. It's my fault.
No, I didn't.
Well, I won't fix telephone.
No.
I'll quit this lousy job.
Okay. Now go.
Not before I remove temptation from your path.
No.
I'll wreck this telephone.
No.
I'll wreck it to pieces.
The bottom.
I'll
the
bottom.
Oh.
There. I saved
get you $2.
Bill.
Yeah?
Can I call Dallas, Texas on your phone? If I hurry, I can make $5,000.
Oh, well, of course, George. My phone is right here, and you're welcome to use... Well, excuse me. I'll answer that.
Oh, hurry, please. Minute.
Hello? Yes, this is Dimple. Why, sure, I love you, honey. I love you dearly. Who is it? Oh, Mabel? Hiya, Mabel. A date? Well, let me look at my date book and see what I have available.
Hold a minute. Hurry up, Bill, please.
Mabel, the first night I have open is the 27th. Is that okay? Well, that's November 27th. I'll see you then, honey. Bye. Now, George, I'll get that Dallas number for you right away. Oh, excuse me.
Well, hurry, hurry. Again.
Hello? Yes, this is Dimple. Oh, hello, Gladys. A date? Well, I'm booked up till November 28th, but you can have that. Okay, it's a date. Oh, no, honey, that's November 28th, 1949.
This guy is the mail on a turnip.
Bye, Gladys.
Now, look, lover boy, get long-distance operator, quick.
Okay, George.
Hurry up.
Hello? Long-distance operator? I want to call Dallas, Texas, and I want to... Yeah, this is Dimples. Well, Myrtle, how are you?
This is Myrtle.
No, it's Myrtle.
Oh, it's my friend.
Yeah, Myrtle, get me Dallas, Texas right away. It's very important.
Hurry up.
You won't. But why not? No, Myrtle, I'm not calling another girl. Well, honest, honey, I swear I'm not.
I should have used Errol Flynn's phone.
Myrtle, if I'm not telling the truth, may they come and take my Maxwell House coffee. And you know Maxwell House is the very best in coffee-drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. Oh, you believe me now, huh?
Sure.
Hey, George, he's getting the Dallas operator.
Good. If I don't get those...
Hello? Hello, Dallas operator? Look, I wanted to... Yeah, this is Dimples. Hello, Linda Sue.
Oh, no.
How's every little thing, honey child?
Please, Bill, get the number. It's Ecstasy 2400.
Linda Sue, get me Maxwell House 2400.
Bill, it's Ecstasy.
Same thing. Same thing. That's why with more than 1,000 brands to choose from, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. You're ringing it, Linda Sue? Okay.
Mr. Justin's secretary will probably answer. Then I'll call.
Hello, is this Mr. Justin's secretary? Well, just a moment. I want to put Mr. Burns. Yeah, this is Dimple.
Hello, me. How are you?
Yeah, I'm still with Maxwell House Coffee, and you know something, Ella May? Maxwell House comes to you roaster fresh two ways now. In the familiar blue vacuum tin, or in the new ultra vacuum glass jar.
Give me the phone. Hello. Hello, this is George Burns. Mr. Judson said I could buy 100 head of cattle at $50 a head. So get the order in right away.
But Meredith, by the time I followed him to Bill Goodwin's house, he'd already called Texas. That's why I rushed over here to use your phone.
Well, I have Dallas on the phone for you now, Gracie. Here's Mr. Judson's secretary.
Oh, thank you. Hello, this is Mrs. Burns. Cancel that order my husband just made. Goodbye. I saved him again. I just can't let George make any decisions, Meredith. Dr. Miller says he has the mind of a child.
By Jove, now that you mention it, George has tried to interest me in his childish pastime. He has frequently said, Meredith, why don't you go fly a kite?
If you think that's childish, wait till you hear this. George has been cutting out paper dolls.
Paper dolls?
Yep. Out of Esquire magazine.
Gracie, I've seen those dolls in Esquire, but the publishers made quite a mistake. They didn't print any paper dresses to put on them.
Oh, well, I guess George is too dumb to realize. But that's nothing compared to the decision about Mr. Judson's cattle. All he wanted to buy was the head.
No.
Yes. And he was going to pay the same price that bottoms bring.
Well, that's ridiculous. Heads aren't even half the size.
I wonder what he wanted with them anyway.
Well, perhaps he wanted to hang them on your walls.
Oh, well, if that's it, I guess the head would have looked better.
Poor George.
Yeah, we must be kind to him and try to make his second childhood a happy one.
Well, he's welcome to come over and play with my electric train.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a treat. During his first childhood, they didn't have electricity. Think of it. They didn't even have trains.
Say, here comes George up the walk
now. Uh-oh. Now, Meredith, don't tell him I canceled his order for those cattle heads. It would break his childish heart.
Have no fear, Gracie. My lips are sealed. Enter.
Meredith, have you seen?
Oh. There you are, Gracie. What are you doing here?
Just visiting, dear.
That's right. Just visiting, dear.
You both sound awfully guilty. I've got a hunch you're hiding something from me. Now, what is it?
That threatening tone will avail you nothing, George. My lips are sealed.
Yes. Don't let them scare you, Meredith.
No form of torture will persuade me to betray our secret.
Stout heart, Meredith.
You may boil me in oil, but I'll never reveal that Gracie called Dallas and canceled your order.
Attaboy, Meredith.
So that's it, huh?
What's it?
Gracie canceled my order.
Oh, you're eavesdropping outside, eh?
Yeah, I'm sneaky. Gracie, why did you do such a thing?
I did it to protect you, Jim. You see, you have the mind of a child and the body of a man.
I have not.
Well, it's practically the body of a man.
I didn't mean that.
Well, anyway, I told Dr. Miller your dream, and he said you should never make a decision.
You told him my dream? Holy smoke, I see it all now. Gracie, you're the one with the mind of a child and the body of a man.
Young Judge, you need new glasses.
Gracie, what?
Hey, excuse me for busting in like this, but I've been looking all over for you. Did you buy them cattle, little man?
No, I didn't, Mr. Judson. You see, Gracie...
Well, let me shake your hand. You're a smarter man than I am.
Huh?
Cattle prices has went down again. You saved yourself a passel of money.
I did?
Yeah. How come you were so shrewd?
Well, I merely anticipated the market fluctuation.
See, you're a financial genius.
Well, I wouldn't limit it to finances. I have an intelligent grasp of all complex situations.
Boy, you got a smart husband, little lady. Thanks to him, you ain't stuck with all that beef.
Well, I may not have any beef, but look at the ham I'm stuck with.
Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. And now...